pick up where we left off last time, which is on the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Yechesim and Aleph. So the Gemara says, we started this quickly. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, again, Daf Yechesim and Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, Poskim Mayim Lagina Erev Shabbos, Mechad Sheikha, Umisma Ais Vahalechas, Kol Yom Kulo. So you can open up a pipe, or however they had an irrigation system, you can start that on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and the water will continue to flow on Shabbos itself. So it seems from here that to set up a sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos shouldn't be a problem. That seems to be the simple reading, and in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan paskens this way, that you can use a sprinkler on, set up a sprinkler on Erev Shabbos, and it'll continue on Shabbos. So, now there are a couple qualifications of that. So just essentially one approach, one conceptual approach is just to take the Gemara at face value. Then there's a discussion, so the Chazon Ish actually mentions that, you know, I'm sure most people's houses are like this. If you turn on the faucet in your kitchen, right? Let's say you have a sprinkler running in your backyard, right? And you turn on the faucet in the kitchen. So the water pressure, depending on how good your plumbing is, the water pressure on your sprinkler might go down while you're using the water in your house. And then when you turn off the water in your house, so the water pressure might increase. So the Chazon Ish thinks that is a problem. That closing the water in your house and therefore increasing the flow of water again outside is a problem on Shabbos, despite what the Gemara says. Because the Gemara is envisioning a situation where, it's the Chazon Ish's eyes, the Gemara is envisioning a situation where the sprinkler system is set up on its own and it's running on its own like on autopilot, and nothing will affect it. So you started that process before Shabbos. According to Beis Hillel, it's fine to do these things before Shabbos, and it continues on Shabbos and nothing changes. But once you have some sort of change in the circumstance, then now we're going to say, well, now you increased it on Shabbos. So that would be a problem, according to the Chazon Ish. So it's an important point, and I think it'll drive at a point we'll get to in a little bit. I think it's a question for sure by watering, and maybe a general question by melachos that are like a process-oriented malacha, that's like a continuous malacha, is do we only look at the first moment that malacha was set up, and once we say that, well, according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to do that on Erev Shabbos, and therefore you can just do it, and we don't like take another analysis at some point later on? Or no, we still have to look in some aspect to what is going on while the process is happening, even if, let's say, your involvement in that, you know, is no longer. So according to Chazon Ish, here it's a little different because you did something, right? So you did something on Shabbos itself that causes an increase in the water flow, and therefore we're going to say that that's an increase in the watering and viewed as some sort of malacha on Shabbos itself. So even though you set up the process on Erev Shabbos,
only because it's on the grass. Is that anything to do with?
Again, in the malacha of Zoraya, to say that a toldo of the malacha is to water plants. So we'll say, even though there is this din according to Beis Hillel that if you set up the malacha on Erev Shabbos, that's usually fine. But if you're actively doing something on Shabbos itself, that kind of alters the situation. So then we'll say that, other than that, it's a problem. I mean, we kind of ignore the fact that you had set this up. And it's interesting because, you know, you could argue maybe you only return the water pressure back to the way it was before you turned on the water in your house. So if anything, like start to finish, there's no net gain, right? You'll say, well, I don't know, has the pressure measured in PSI,
yeah,
right? So let's say it's the same PSI before you turn on the water in your house as it is when you turn the water back off.
That's a negative.
Well,
if it's a problem, it's not like...
Well, again, well, I have to identify exactly what the exactly the problem is. So if the problem, I think, if the problem is in that the melacha of Zareya, or at least as it applies to watering, is the Maisa, so then you did a Maisa, right? If we say Maisa is increasing water flow, either turning on water from nothing or increasing water flow at all, that's the melacha, so then you did that. If the melacha is, let's say, you know, process-oriented or result-oriented, so then maybe you could argue that you haven't really changed anything. We're going to discuss, maybe hopefully get to it. In the sugya of Atzitz Nakov, which is a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom, there's a discussion about moving a flower pot from different places. And there's a discussion whether, you know, is the act of moving itself, you know, enough? Or maybe if there's no net gain in the growth, maybe that's not the malacha. So the Chazon Ish takes the assumption, presumably, that just turning off the water and that it will increase, turning off the water in the house, increase the flow outside, presumably, even if there's no net gain, that's still a problem. You would have to assume, I think, that the malacha is, the malacha of Zareya is just the action itself. So it's like a, you know, in the green form, like the Mechas Kinach approach. Again, you see these paradigms in all these halachos, that is just the Maisa itself, you don't really focus on results. So maybe we'll apply that approach here, and just,
plus you, say, like
you a did a malacha of...
That's a whole new thing, like, now that you've increased it, like you started at the whole...
Maybe,
thing.
Unless, I mean, yeah, if you look at that moment, you could have made the argument, I think, and I feel like it's a good argument to make, that in that game you haven't done anything. We'll see, maybe, hopefully we'll get to it.
Is this only if it's continuously running? How about if you have it on timer? I mean,
timer is a separate. So timer, meaning like what?
So here's one of the questions I have. Like, let's say it usually goes off. My water, not on Shabbos, usually if I remember to turn it off, which I think I usually do. Usually,
I don't have a sprinkler at all. So
it goes on at 3:00.
There's another issue with noise.
My water goes on. Yeah, that was going to say. So it's
you got the noise. But yeah,
my water goes on at 3:00 in the morning, and then it goes off at, you know, whatever, 4:00 in the morning. You know, so it's so you.
It's not an issue of your water going off. The issue is...
In other words, somebody... Chances are...
No one's up.
Yeah, no one's up. And then I was also going to ask you about... So in terms of the timer, and then also is there's no question of Mar and I am with water
run? So we'll just take one step at a time.
Right.
So one approach is that if you just read the Gemara itself, it says it's fine to start the process in Erev Shabbos. Maybe there's a little bit of discussion if you're going to do something that's going to increase the flow along the way. So maybe that's problematic and you should try to avoid that type of scenario. That's one approach. Another approach is based on the Gemara a little bit later. So the Gemara on this Amud says, it says, it's a couple lines down. Essentially, there's a braisa that says you can do a lot of different things in Erev Shabbos, but it says that you cannot put, and this is, I think, where you left off, you can't put wheat kernels into a water mill on Erev Shabbos unless it's going to grind everything up before Shabbos starts. So, my time, huh? So, why can't you do that? Because presumably, we're assuming, according to Beis Hillel, this is Machlokes Beis Shammai in general, about all these things to do Erev Shabbos, according to Beis Hillel, the assumption is that everything is fine. From like a malacha perspective, you're allowed to do everything on Erev Shabbos. So why, according to this braisa, would you not be allowed to put the wheat into the mill on Erev Shabbos and require it to be essentially finished before Shabbos starts? So Amar Rabba Mnei Shemash Maskol. So Rabba says, because it makes noise. Rashi, if you go Rashi, Rashi says, Sheitchanu Mi'od Yom, makes noise. It's a zilzul of the Shabbos. It becomes like a whole ordeal, a whole scene. And that's a zilzul Shabbos. It's actually, I think, a machlokas in the Mefarshim, whether this idea of avshemilsa or mashmaskol is really a like a zilzul Shabbos idea or more of a maris ayin idea. But I think in general... The poskim assume not like a maris ayin idea, but I think that idea is out there. That the question is really, are we concerned that look, it's just not Shabbistic to have all of these like contraptions running in a very loud way, Or is the idea that it's Marzayan to do this because when people see these things happening, they're going to assume that you did it on Shabbos? Singla halacha, I think it's the first way. And never the postum discussed, well, what exactly is considered hashma askol, like a loud noise, in a way that causes a zilzul Shabbos, right? So the shiur that Rav Moshe gives, I think his shiur is if you have like an appliance working in a room, and if you close the door to the room and you can still hear the appliance working on the other side of the door, that's too loud. Because it's, again, takes away from like the atmosphere of Shabbos. So this approach is just adding a separate din onto the sugya that really has nothing to do with the issue potentially. And then this can be applied to sprinklers also. It can be applied to anything. That there's a secondary concern. Maybe from the malacha perspective, we'll say that if you have a process-oriented malacha and you started on Erev Shabbos, so it doesn't matter from the soul's perspective if that continues onto Shabbos. It doesn't maybe even matter if it wasn't totally finished before Shabbos. From a malacha perspective, we'll say that that's fine. Essentially, the reason for Beis Hillel in that vein is because Beis Hillel doesn't hold up the din of Shvisas Kalim. That's the way most people explain Malachos in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The Gemara seems to go with that approach also, is that they argue whether there's a din of Shvisas Kalim. Are your Kalim obligated to rest on Shabbos? So according to Beis Shammai, they are. And therefore, they can't be doing a malacha on Shabbos. So anything that would need to be done on Erev Shabbos would have to be completed before Shabbos starts, according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, there is no din of Shvisas Kelim. There's no Isser that your Kelim have to be resting. So as long as it started on Shabbos, if they're working on their own, so that's like removed from you. We don't attribute that to you. That's what we say your Kelim are working on their own, and they're not obligated not to work on Shabbos.
Beis Shammai wouldn't even use a refrigerator, theoretically?
Potentially. Yeah, you have to determine exactly what the refrigerator is doing, but yeah, if it's doing a deraisa in some respect, yeah, you have to figure out what it is, but so electricity is according to Moses, the Rabbanan. I don't know exactly what the refrigerator is doing on a deraisa level, but yeah, in theory. So, but you definitely would say, right, you can't use your washing machine, right? You can't set up your washing machine and have it run. Secondary concern that even according to Beis Hillel, this din of Hashemah's goal can override lots of things. So that's how it's applied to washing machines and dryers and dishwashers and stuff like that. If it's very loud, like I said last week, my washing machine is so loud. So, and it's not in our basement either. So it's really loud and just like the whole house shakes because of it. So don't get Samsung. I think they're notorious for being very loud. Whatever. So then that's a problem. And dishwashers, some dishwashers are very quiet. You don't even hear them at all. Maybe quiet enough. But it's a secondary concern. It's not a concern from a malacha perspective. It's just a din of, it's like zilzul Shabbos. And that would potentially apply to sprinklers as well, since sprinklers are very noisy. And, of course, you see them and their parent, and that could be a concern aside from the question of whether water, having them water your plants on Shabbos is a problem. Okay, and Rabbi Stein, actually, Daniel Stein, he points to, he made the ha'ara that, you know, there's some sprinklers that are drip sprinklers, like they have a red straw. Like, that's probably not a Shema's call, right? You know, you don't notice anything, so that would probably be okay, again, assuming like the Gemara that says post-Gemayim Legina. Things get complicated, depending on who you are, is based on a Yerushalmi, which is on the sheet that I gave out. I have an extra copy here if you need. So there's Yerushalmi on Yeraf Amveiz and Shabbos. It says as follows. Amar Rav Chagai, Bnei Shem Hashmiyo Sesakol. So they wanted to know, Yerushalmi is having the same discussion, why are these things problematic on Shabbos? And Rav Chagai said, like, whoever said in our Gemara, Rabba. Said in the Bavli, Rav Chagai says in Yerushalmi, because it's Hashmiyo Sesakol, it makes noise. Amar Le Rav Yossi, it was Rabbi Sabar Rabbi Yehuda. So, Rabbi Yossi said back to Rabbi Chagai, so yes, Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, who's Rabbi Yehuda? So there's a machlokes in Bamei Madlikin, the second parak. There's a machlokes in the machlokes Tanayim, which we say every Friday night. So the question is, are you allowed to take an eggshell, cut it open, put oil in it, and let the oil drip from the eggshell onto a candle that's burning. Drip slowly, so that the oil from the eggshell will drip and continue to, you know, to fuel a candle. So Tanakama says no, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to do that. So the discussion, what exactly is the reason, the chokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah, why it's a problem. But we're not going to go deep into that sugya, we're just going to go with the Yerushalmi's approach, which I promise you, if you open up the Kahati and you look at the explanation of that Mishnah, it's not this. Because I didn't, and it's not this. So Rabbi Yossi says that's like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning Rabbi Yehuda who holds that you're allowed to fill up an eggshell with oil and let it drip onto a burning candle. So that's like Rabbi Yehuda who holds essentially that if you set this up on Erev Shabbos, a process where a malacha is going to be done on its own on Shabbos, that's okay. Ram ki rabbanin kamadi inun amrin tamar mishum lohuscha b'chol tipa v'tipa. The rabbanon there who said you're not allowed to fill up an eggshell with oil and let the oil drip onto a candle, so they hold that the reason you're not allowed to do that is because not every drop of oil was burnt yet, right? Or was even, you know, in the pool of fuel. Obviously, you know, you're allowed to have, if you have a candle, and like your Shabbos candle has a cup of oil and you have a wick, so that's filled up, that's fine. But here you're adding, you know, or you're setting up a process that's dripping down drops of oil into, let's say you have a contraption that drips oil drop by drop into your Shabbos candles. So, and that's happening on Shabbos. So the Yerushalmi says, according to the Rabbanan, that's a problem. Because since not every drop of oil is in the candle already, but it's coming separately on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. So, Kein inun amrin hacha, mishum lahuscha b'chol chita v'chita. So too, they say here that the reason that you're not allowed to, the case that they were dealing with is setting up a water mill on Erev Shabbos, and the din was that you had to make sure that every single kernel of wheat was ground before Shabbos. So the reason for that, according to the Yerushalmi, is because not every kernel of wheat was ground before Shabbos. So whereas our Gemara set it up as, according to Beis Hillel, the problem is just Hashmas Kol, so the Yerushalmi invokes an idea that if you hold like the Rabbanon in the Machlokes, the Rabbanon Rabbi Yehuda, in the Sugya of Amem Alikin, so they say there's a different reason. The reason you're not allowed to set up a mill on Erev Shabbos is because not every kernel of wheat will have been ground. Meaning, right, the idea that they're invoking is that we would review every single kernel of wheat that's being crushed as its own malacha, right? And therefore, it's very nice that, let's say you have 100 kernels of wheat in the mill. So even if 50 of them were to be ground before Shabbos, if 50 are going to be ground on Shabbos, or even one's going to be ground on Shabbos, so then that's a problem. And that seems to be a problem even according to Beis Hillel. So that means that that's a problem even if you don't hold to the idea of Shvisas Kelim, presumably. That's what it means. That you can't set up a process, according to Beis Hillel, you can't set up a process that an entire malacha will still be done on Shabbos. You can set up a process where the malacha starts on Shabbos, starts on Erev Shabbos and continues on Shabbos, but you can't set up a process where the entire malacha on its own will be done on Shabbos itself. So this idea is echoed further.
The answer that Bob argues with it, right? Because this would be 100%. That's because it doesn't bring it, because this is a much stronger issue, bigger issue than...
Yeah, it's a deraisa issue. Right. Ashwa's
call.
Right. I don't think it's a deraisa.
Right. So exactly.
You know, maybe.
It's not because of reason.
Maybe it's Tishba, but
the Bob does not hold it.
Correct. But that's, you know, Bachol is a sugya. It happens all the time. So, yes, Bavli does not hold of it. So, what makes it the halacha potentially an issue is this Rambam. So, in the last sheet. So, I actually did not see this Rambam inside because I don't have access to this Rambam. The Rambam, it's a manuscript. The Rambam actually wrote Perushim on Mesechtos and Shas, most of which we don't have. One of which is on Shabbos, and there's a Ksavya that was found of it. So there was this journal that used to come out. This is like a YU mucker. All these things. It's like a YU mucker. Like, Jewish people don't quote this. I can't imagine they do. It's like a YU thing. So Rav Zevin, Shlomo Yosef Zevin, he used to have this journal called Sofrim Visvarim, I think it's called. Yeah. Sofrim Visvarim. He used to find, like, manuscripts in Eretz Yisrael that would come out, and he would write about them. So, one that he wrote about was when the Ksav Yad Rambam came out, and he pointed out different things. So, one of which was this Rambam on Yuches. So, Rambam says like this. I quoted it from the journal itself. I don't think the journal is in print, but you can get it online. So, I just quoted it from here. I didn't see the Ksav Yad inside. So, Perish. Kivan Shereinu Beisila Ki Hitiru Lishros Dio B'chashecha Yadano Ki Nesinas Mayim Wazio Zuhi Shriyasom. So, the first machlokas quoted in the Mishnah between Meisham and Beisilel is the case of In Shorin Dio V'Simamanim V'Karshinim El Kadesh Yeshurim Yodyom. This is on Yizayin of Beis. Meisham says you're not allowed to soak different dyes, or different things that are used for dye, in water unless they will be fully soaked on Erev Shabbos. U'Beisilel Matirin, Beisilel allows you to just drop it in. Again, the potential malacha issue at play is lush, which I think we mentioned when we talked about the Rambam, who says, who quotes the idea of shorin chitin v'se'orin v'mayim, right, to soak kernels of wheat and barley in water. Whether that's an issue of planting, we quoted the Gemara in Zvachim, which seemed to imply that it wasn't, but the Gemara in Zvachim raised that it was an issue of lush. Essentially, it makes it softer, and it's like kneading. Just, that's the process of making it softer. So, the Rambam says, since we see the Beis Hillel is matir in that case, he allows you to drop the dio, the simamanim, the plants that are used for dye, into the water in Erev Shabbos. So you see that nesinas mayim l'dio zuhi shriyaso, that just the placing of these plants in the water itself, that is the shriya, that's all that's required, it's all soaking that's required. It's like an instantaneous soaking. That's all that's necessary. You just have to get it wet a little bit. And that's why Beis Hillel was matir to do it. She'omrim kvar nasem melacha kodem haShabbos. Since the melacha involved here is just instantaneous soaking, we'll say that was done before Shabbos. About ilu savru Beis Hillel ki adayim unasis haMelacha, b'hoy matir nasias melacha b'Shabbos klal. But if Beis Hillel were to think in a certain case that the melacha was not completed before Shabbos, so they would not be matir doing a malacha on Shabbos at all. So Rav Zalman Meltzer quoted this Rambam in connection with the Yerushalmi and the previous source to develop the idea that even according to Beis Hillel, right, when he's matir all of these things, it's only because he holds that there in these situations there is no, it's a more extreme version, right, that the malacha is really essentially being completed before Shabbos itself. There is no individual malacha being done on Shabbos. So when this came out, so they say that Rav Shechter, based on this, is machmir by sprinklers and other things, based on this Rambam, to essentially say, like, every molecule of water, or every drop of water, potentially is its own malacha of watering. So as the sprinkler is going, even if you were, let's say, set up the sprinkler on Erev Shabbos and it continues on to Friday night, so each drop of water that comes out of the sprinkler is its own malacha of watering, and based on this, that would not be okay. Beis Hillel's heter is not is the assumption is that no complete malacha is happening on Shabbos itself.
How do you differentiate? This seems to be a little bit more extreme than just looking at each kernel, right?
This Rambam.
Yeah. Right. So
yeah.
How do you differentiate between soaking, between lighting a candle, lighting the Shabbos candle? How do you differentiate between that?
I mean,
why
the
that,
case.
Why is that considered as if? I mean, if you're saying it's all about whether the malacha is done, according to Beis Hillel, whether it's completed.
So the Rambam would have to, again, I'm not such a bucky in lush, but it seems like the Rambam is assuming that anything that happens after, according to Beis Hillel, right, anything that happens after the initial soaking is nothing, is meaningless.
And you're going to say the same thing by lighting a candle? That
like the oil dripping down?
Not even dripping, just the oil that's regular. We set off the oil in the...
Right, so...
How are you differentiating that and you're saying the soaking is complete, that's why it's okay? What are you going to say about the candle then? That what's complete?
Well, it's not. You're asking what? If you light
it. As Shabbos goes on, you're still drawing more. You know, the wick is drawing the whatever, the oil is burning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying it's not the same as the soaking. According to this explanation, saying the soaking is complete, whatever happens after, nothing's really happening. Right? There's one thing when you said each kernel, you know, each chita, that approach when in Rishami, just each chita, you can look at it separate. But okay, so you look at the pool in the candle, right? Whatever in the so you look at that as one entity, and that started right before. But once you now go away from that, you start saying that soaking is it's only good when Punch Day Silk is completed. But if it continues on to Shabbos, it's really not good anymore. Then how you able to light the candles?
So I think Benjamin Russell asked this last time. So I think by Havara, you have to, in each of these cases, you have to first identify what is the Malacha Asura. So by lighting candles, right, the Malacha is the lighting, not the burning. Right, that's, let's go back, right, that's in the Nimuki Yosef. Nimuki Yosef's question, remember in Nimuki Yosef in Baba Kama, he asked a question, right? We have this Machlokes in the Gemara, whether Esho Mishum Mamono or Mishum Chetziav, right? We have this Machlokes in general, in Ezekin, whether a person has generates fire and it causes damage, do we say it's as if like a person's animal causes damage, or it's like the person himself? And based on this, the Nimuki Yosef asks this famous question, right? So, you know, how can you ever light Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos? According to the Man Amar, who holds that Isha Mishum Chetziav, what does that mean? It means, let's say, I lit a fire in my backyard to, I don't know, burn some firewood or something, okay? And, you know, that causes a huge forest fire, goes from house to house, and burns down my neighbor's house. So Isha Mishum Chetziav means, when the house next door to me is burnt down, it's as if at that moment I lit the fire to burn that guy's house. So even though it was like a whole process, so we say it's like I did it. So it's as if I lit the guy's house. So he says, if that's the case, how can you light candles on Erev Shabbos? We should say that it's as if you lit every moment that the candle burns on Shabbos itself. We should say that it's if you lit the candle on Shabbos. And he gives an answer. But I think what's important is his question. His question assumes, meaning he has to come to a situation to ask the question where we're going to say it's as if you lit it on Shabbos because the malacha is the lighting. I don't think the malacha by the Shriya of the Mayim is... I don't think we would say that... let's say according to...
Then why is the drip, when you have the drip coming? If it's lighting, what's the difference? How do you differentiate between the drip?
So we view that if you're adding Rambam, right, because you're Rambam. Yeah.
How do you differentiate between the drip and what you set up before a shot?
So I think if you add fuel to a fire, so if you add oil to a burning to like a candle that's set up and you pour, so we view that as a form of lighting. It's an active form of lighting. We have to do something active. We're not going to just say that if it continues to burn, that's a continuous malacha. We don't attribute that just continuing to burn based on your initial lighting on Erev Shabbos. You have to do something active for it to continue to go. Now that's by hadlaka. That's by havara. And again, the case here of putting, and think through the case so much, but you know, the case that you put, you know, plants that are used to make dye, right? And you put it in water, and somehow that softens those things, and it could come to lush. So in your paradigm, what do you want to say? You want to say that, why don't we say in this case also that every moment that it becomes softer, but I think you reach a threshold amount that once it's soft, it's good to go. And I think that's what Beis Hillel is assuming, that by lush, you can't get more softer. I think once you hit a situation where it's soft enough, we would say you would be over lush. So if he says, well, we reached that threshold on Erev Shabbos, you're done. And there's no more malacha that could be done afterwards. Some malachas are like, yes, they have the potential for you to say that we should continue, the malacha should continue on, and therefore we should say that every moment that this process is continuing is like another malacha. And we'll answer by each one why that may not be the case in, let's say, the case of candles that are burning. We'll say that's not a malacha because the malacha is the lighting or to cause lighting to happen. And here, if it's just sitting in a candle, is just sitting there, you're not doing anything. Some malachos are not like continuous. They just hit a point and you're done. I think lush is one of those, according to Beis Hillel.
Well, Beis Hillel no longer, maybe
that's a malacha where you just hit the threshold, and therefore if that happened on Erev Shabbos, there's no, if it sits in the water longer, it doesn't make it more of a malacha of lush.
So Beis Hillel now also has problems with Shvisas Kalim also? Is that what we're saying now,
Prentice
Rambam?
No.
Though we said the whole
Machlokes. Oh, so.
Like, how, like, in other words, this Rambam seems to.
Wait, does he have a problem with Shmuzes Kalim? So he's still going to say. Right, so there's two ways to say it. I mean, I don't know, because Rambam doesn't give you more, but I guess in theory there's two ways to apply this. You could say, based on this Rambam, that really basically holds that there is an Isser of Shmuzes Kalim. There's a lav of Shmuzes Kalim. But that only manifests itself when it's set up that the Kli is doing an entire Malacha on Shabbos. Or...
Malacha
on Shabbos.
Not the entire.
It's true. The formulation of the Rambam is not exactly like the formulation in the Yerushalmi. Right? Because the formulation in the Yerushalmi seems like Chochita V'chita. It sounds like the entire Malacha has to be done on Shabbos because we view each kernel of wheat as its own Malacha. So according to the Yerushalmi, you have to have a start and finish on Shabbos itself. According to the way that the Rambam phrases it, it's slightly different because his Lashon is Shekvar Na'aseh Malacha Kodem HaShabbos. All right, about Ilustaru Besol Ki Adain Lona Asay Samalach Aluhu Matirin. So, the Nafkamina is what we call in it's like a straddle period, right? There's in law you have a closing day, which is the day that the transaction closes. And there's sometimes for tax purposes, just what I'm concerned about. Sometimes you have like a tax period that starts before the closing and ends after the closing. Here too, you have a malacha, a process that starts before Shabbos but ends after Shabbos. According to the Rambam, that also would be a problem because the malacha is not completed before Shabbos starts. And that's what you need, to have the completion before Shabbos. Not just that it's a problem if an entire malacha happened on Shabbos, but that's pointing out, according to the Lashon of the Rambam, it's that even if part of the malacha process happened on Shabbos, that would also be a problem. If, let's say, it finished on Shabbos, that would be a problem.
So isn't that not Shabbos Kalim?
So no, but you can make the argument that that's not it's not a lot of Shmuzes Kalim. It's you
yourself are doing
right. I mean, we view that if you set up a process where the malacha was not completed before Shabbos, so we say you did it. I mean, you can still hold that way, even if you don't hold the lot of Shmuzes Kalim. Let's say it's just a malacha that you did, and you did it all day clean. We're gonna see cases, right? I mean, if you use. A kli could be a broad concept, right? But when we do charisha, we're going to see, right? It's nearly impossible to do charisha without a kli, right? You have to use a plow to plow. You can't do it on your own. We don't say shvisas kalim, right? There's some malachas that you could use. If using the kli is doing the malacha, so even if you don't hold up, and everybody holds that way, even if you don't hold up shvisas kalim, there's some malachas you just have to be done with some sort of kli to do it. And we'll still say that that's the malacha, so you can say here too. If you set up a process, even if it's, you know, completed not by you, but completed by a kli, so that's not done in Shmuzes Kalim, that's just you did a malacha that wasn't finished before Shabbos. So we say you, it's like you did the malacha on Shabbos.
How would you cook chalon?
Yeah.
So Rambam wouldn't cook chalon?
No, of course. And in Shmuzes Kalim, I mean, even according to Beis Hillel, right, who doesn't hold the Shmuzes Kalim holds that, right, if you put a pot on the fire, your kli is involved in the process, right? Your kli is cooking, putting it together, really keeping it there. Shmuzes Kalim is different. Shmuzes Kalim is that the kli, we could say the kli itself is doing the entire malacha on its own, essentially without you. Or your involvement in that malacha is so minimal that we don't view you as doing anything, right? So, mill. So yes, in theory, a mill doesn't work on its own, right? You have to have built the mill. But other than that, right? So, you know, maybe it has a switch, maybe it doesn't. You know, like the water mills, it was just built by a river. As the water flowed by, it turned the wheel and it ground. So the only malacha that you did in that case is you filled the mill with wheat, right? There's no malacha. That's Shmuzes Kalim. According to Beis Hillel, maybe the mill's a bad case because everyone says that's right. But in cases where your role is so minimal and the malacha is still being done on Shabbos, that's Shmuzes Kalim. But if you're having a very active role in the process, so that's not Shmuzes Kalim. That's just you. So we say here too, according to the Rambam, if you do a malacha or you start up a malacha that is not completed before Shabbos, so that's you that did it. It's not the kli that did it. It's like a further extension. It's more of a chiddush, but I think that's what you could say also. He just still doesn't hold the shmuzes kalim. Okay, so let's just summarize. So So we saw three approaches essentially based on this of this Gemara, of Impos Gemara, and like, you know, whether you're allowed to set up a sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos. One approach is essentially say it's totally fine from the Gemara itself. Maybe there's some discussion whether if you do something on Shabbos that changes the setting a little bit, and it's like the Chazanish's idea, if you turned off the water in your house and it made the pressure go back up, maybe that would be a problem, but otherwise it's fine. Second approach is to say that it's a problem because of the Gemara of Hashmas Kol. If it's very loud or noisy, then it's a problem. And the third approach, based on this Rambam, is that it's a problem. Based on the Yerushalmi, Ar would argue on this. According to Beis Hillel, you would argue on the Bavli and say, if you have a Malacha where we could say the entire Malacha or the entire Malacha was not finished before Shabbos, so then that would be Aser. Okay.
And so, then the Rambam, you don't have to even separate, say, each mile feel like you have to do
that. Right, you wouldn't have to. Okay, so to continue, there's another sugya, but I think it actually ties into something we started with. So if you go to the Gemara on Daf, Pei Aleph on the Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says, it's like right in the middle, literally right in the middle, is Amar Abaye, Parpisa, Hoa V'Asali, Liadam Mema Be'Milsa. I think Gemara was talking about a Parpisa as an Atzitz Nakov. An Atzitz Nakov, something that comes up in many different areas of Halacha, other than Shabbos, most notably like Hilchos Meiser. An Atzitz Nakov is a flower pot. Think of a flower pot like a Home Depot. But there are different types of flower pots that you can buy. Some flower pots don't have holes on the bottom, and some flower pots have holes on the bottom. How do you know? So if you have those flower pots and you pour water and then it gets all over the counter, it's the one that has the hole on the bottom. So usually they come with like a plate or a tray so that when you fill up your flower pot in your house, the excess water drips out into some sort of tray that will collect it so it doesn't go over your house. They say that for orchids. I've killed two orchids already. But for orchids, you need that type, for sure. You need to fill it up, you need one that drains it. If you have a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in an orchid, so what the water sees there, it'll rot out the orchid. Kachaya. So, don't buy me an orchid, because we probably won't take care of it well. Maybe one day. Okay, so, if you have a parpisa, this is an atzitz nakov. So, shari litul tulai. I skipped, sorry. I'm going to buy it. Parpisa hova v'asal yadon leim v'meilsa. Since we're talking about parpisa and atzitz nakov, let's say something about it. Hayamunach agabe karka. If the atzitz nakov, if the flower pot was resting on the ground, v'hinicho agabe yesedos mechay mishum tolish. If you lifted it up off the ground and put it on yesedos, so yesedos, think about like, you know, in shul on Shavuos, you know, they have like a flower, or it's like a tripod. That the holds the flower pot. So if you lifted it off the ground and put it on that tripod, so you're chayav mishum tolish hayamuna chagabe yesedos v'yinicha chagabe karka chayav mishum noteya. If it was resting on the stakes and you put it on the ground, so then you'd be chayav mishum noteya for planting. Okay, so the Gemara uses lashon chayav. So the presumption would be right that you're in both of these situations, you're chayav midoraisa for each malacha. You're chayav mishum tolish and you're chayav mishum noteya. Whether tolish is the av or tolda doesn't really matter for this moment, but you're assuming that you're chai midoraisa for what you're doing. But it's not so simple. Rashi actually says that if you look at Rashi in Masa chai mishum tolish, which is further down from where we read, he says, first of all, he says, chai mishum tolish te'enu re'anam shumei re'echa karka. When you take it from the ground and put it on the yesedos, so then you're chayav mishum tolish because you're not getting any more hana'a from the reyach hakarka. Exactly what that means, right? Karka gives some sort of nutrients, and you're not benefiting from that at all, or not as much. So Rashi says, v'li nira, ta'ay chayav la'avdavka el asr. So he thinks that, and it happens to be, he thinks that's based on the sugya above, but he says that when it says chayav mishum tolish, so it's midrabanan. So Rashi only says this by tolish. So it seems like Rashi comes out with like a weird in-between opinion, where he holds that you're chayav midah oraisa mishum noteya if you take it from the sedos and put it on the ground, but you're only chayav midah rabbanon mishum tolish if you take it from the ground and put it on the sedos. So the question is, first of all, on Rashi, why is that the case? What's the reason for Rashi? But before we explain Rashi, just present two other opinions which might be a little more easy to explain. So the Rambam is probably the easiest to explain. The Rambam says, if you have it graded, if not, I'll read it inside. The Rambam says, well, we would assume, the Rambam says, you're chayav midoraisa both ways. Rashi, Ram says in Perakas al Khadal, he says, Gavshusha shall offer. Oh no, sorry, he says, Gavshusha shall offer Sha'alu ba'asavim. So if you have like a Gavshusha shall offer also, it's like a flower pot, pile of dirt, presumably is in Snorro Kli that you can move it, and it's growing stuff. So he grew me ala aras vinicha gabi yasidos chai mishim tolish. If you take it off the ground and put it on yesedos, you're chayim mishum tolish. I say agav yesedos v'nicha aras chayim mishum zareya. If it's on the yesedos and you put it on the ground, you're chayim mishum zareya. The Rambam doesn't qualify at all. Presumption is when the Rambam says chayav, he really means you're chayim midoraisa. And the third opinion is quoted by the Hagos Ashri in the back on the Rush in the, on this sugya, and he says that you're chayav midrabanan in both cases. So if anything, the Rambam is the most simple opinion. The Gemara says you're chayav. Presumption is that, again, it might be counterintuitive, but maybe something you wouldn't expect. And you have a fire pot and it has a hole. So when you take it from the yesedos and you put it on the ground, so we're saying, according to the Rambam, that's chayav mishum zoreya d'oraisa, because now you're the most simple way to explain it is, you're attaching it to the ground. Now, I don't know if practically the roots from the flower pot will connect to the ground, but we at least say lehalacha that the fact that there's a hole at the bottom of the pot and now there's a direct connection between the dirt in the pot and the ground, so we'll say that that's zorea midoraisa, so there's now a connection. Again, if we're assuming that, let's say, the requirement for zorea is to make something or set up something to be mechubar lekarka, you just did that. Right? There is now a direct connection between the ground and this fire pot. And the flip is that if you had a situation where the fire pot was resting on the ground, and there's a direct connection between the ground and the fire pot, so we view that as mechubar lekarka. So if you separate that, that's kotzer, that's tolish, so you're chayav midoraisa. So that's the simplest way to explain it. What the hard to explain is, first, Rashi, why would you split between Zoreya and Tolish? And also, according to Hagos Ashri, why would it only mean Dirabana? What's the reason that for it to mean Dirabana? So let's start with Rashi. So explanation of Rashi is given by, one explanation of Rashi is given by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Har Tzvi, although it's not in his Sefer Har Tzvi. He has like a Sefer, I think, in the back of the Har Tzvi called the Tel Harim. So he says that to explain Rashi, there is a difference between, again, our assumption has been that essentially that Tolesh or Kotzer is the flip of Zoreya. That Zoreya is making something connected to the ground to grow, making something grow, and Kotzer is to cut something off from its growth source. But that's not really 100% accurate. Right? We've seen that Zoreya is more expansive than just connecting something to the ground. We've seen at least toldos of Zareya. We quoted Yerushalmi last week. There's so many different things that you could do that are, either Dirabanans or, in most cases, a toldo of Zareya that just helps the growth process, even if it's not actually connecting something to the ground. Right? The Yerushalmi had, I think it's also on the source sheet, but the Yerushalmi had koldar v'shuhu mavcha saperos chayim mishum Zareya. Anything that helps the growth of the fruits is chayim mishum Zareya. Some of those things are planting-oriented, and some are not. They involve removing rocks, getting rid of bugs, right? They're using watering. So they don't actually connect things to the ground, but they're chayim mishum zoreya, because zoreya is more expensive than connecting things to the ground. It's anything that helps growth. And therefore, according to Rashi, if you take an Atzid Nakov and take it from Yesedos and put it towards the ground, so maybe we'll say, again, the Rambam had assumed that that's considered Mechubar Lekarka. Maybe that's not really Mechubar Lekarka. That's not connecting it to the ground, but it definitely helps the growth process to be closer to the ground. So you're Chai Mishum Zareya. But Kotzer, according to Rashi, right? So maybe Rashi holds by Kotzer, though, at least, that Kotzer is to separate something from being Mechubar to not Mechubar. And he views Atzitz Nakov as not being Mechubar. So essentially, it's like a direct Machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Whereas, let's say, the Rambam assumes that everything is, that an Atzitz Nakov, when it's resting on the ground, is considered Mechubar Lekarka. And therefore, if you take it away, it's Tolish. If you put it there, you're Chayim. Right? So Rashi holds it's not Mechubar Lekarka. It's not. But you're Chayim Mishum Zareya, because, and that's why you're not Chayim Mishum Tolish Midiraisa. Maybe Midirabana, because it looks like Tolish. But you're Chayim Mishum Zareya, because Zareya is not just about Mechubar Lekarka, Zareya is about helping growth. Okay. That's Rashi. One explanation for Rashi. There obviously could be more. Other question is how to explain the Hagah of Zashri. So, and I think this explanation might help explain something about the sprinkler system that we discussed. So the Eglei Tal gives an explanation, and he says, well, essentially he asks, right, so if we were to hold, like we just explained, that Zareya is about helping growth, so then why would the Hagah of Zashri say that you're only chayav midrabanan? Meaning, now that we have gave some sort of explanation for Rashi, and Rashi can be explained, so Hagah of Zashri can't be explained because he holds that even Zareya is midrabanan. So, the explanation given for the Hagah of Zashri by the Eglei Tal is that, well, and again, I don't know the science of this, but when the Atzid Nakov is resting on the stick, right, it's still growing in some respect. It has dirt in it, maybe some plant food. If you pour water in it, it'll continue to grow. Maybe not as effectively, but it'll still continue to grow. So what is putting it closer to the ground do? It helps it grow better, or more, or maybe faster. But according to the Hagah of Zashri, like we explained, that's not considered Zareya. Something's already growing, and you're just making it grow better or more. So that's not considered Zareya. I think that goes back to the question about the sprinkler. Right, so if you change the wall, again, the Chazanish assumed, right, that if you increase the water flow, right, so that was Zareya, that was Mashkamayim. And therefore, it would be a problem to have a sprinkler system that if you turned off the water on in your house, it would increase the flow of the sprinkler, so that would be a problem with Mashkamayim. But I think based on this Eglei Tal, not the case, right? The Chazanish would be assuming that increasing the growth process, making it happen at a faster rate, so that's Zareya. But according to the Hagah of Zashri, the explanation, the reason why if you take an Atzid Nakov and put it on the ground, that it's not Chayov, is because it was already growing. So if the water is already flowing, even if you make it out of the water flow faster, that's not Zareya. Zareya is essentially doing something where you're adding like another dimension. So that it doesn't already have, because then you'll tell me, okay, but all these other things, you could have a tree that's growing, but now if you take away the bugs, if you prune it, whatever, so, because there I would say you're adding like another dimension that it doesn't already have, right? You're helping it grow in a way that it wasn't already growing. You could make the argument that taking an Atzid Nakov and just kind of now placing it on the ground is not really helping it necessarily in a qualitatively different way than it already was. Okay, so that's the last, we'll stop with this. So again, the last, maybe we'll summarize what we did. So first we saw the Gemara about poskim ayin lagina and three explanations for whether you can use a sprinkler system. And now this Gemara on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, which talks about an Atzid Nakov, and there are three opinions in the Rishonim to explain the Gemara. The Gemara again says that if you take it from the Yesedos and put it on the ground, or vice versa, you're Chayav, Mishum Zareya, and Mishum Tolish. There are three opinions in the Rishonim. What does it mean that you're Chayav? According to Rashi, you're Chayav, Midoraisa, Mishum Zareya, but Midorabanan, Mishum Tolish. According to Ram, you're Chayav, Midoraisa for both. And according to the Hagah of Zashri, you're Chayav, Midorabanan for both. And the explanation for Ramam is very easy. We assume that everything is about, one explanation for Ramam is maybe that everything's about Mechubar Lekarka, and this is considered Mechubar Lekarka. Maybe, And Rashi argues and says, no, it's not mechubar lekarka, but you're chayim mishum zareya because you're helping growth, and this helps growth, but you're not chayim mishum tolish because it's not mechubar lekarka. And then the Agadah Sashri says it's midrabanan only for both, because to cause growth to happen in a faster way, but the same way, but just faster, that's not zareya. You have to do something qualitatively different, and then you're not doing anything qualitatively different. And he points out, interesting to note, that there's, and this just highlights everything that we discussed by Zareya, and a great way to stop. So he points out that, you know, there is a din by Bishul, right, that you're not allowed to stir a pot that's on the fire. Important halacha l'maisa. If you want to have chill on Friday night, it's halacha l'maisa, because I, well, I don't have chill on Friday night, this Shabbos, but I came home from shul early before we were eating lunch, and there was chill on the crock pot, and I wanted to have some, but I didn't want to take the crock pot off the, out of the crock pot, because lunch wasn't going to be for another hour, but I really wanted chillin' then. So the din is you're not allowed to mix something, a pot that's cooking on the fire, because cooking speeds up the cooking process, stirring, right? Speeds up the cooking process. So the Egei Tal asks on what he just said, right? If we just said that by Zoraya, so according to the Agadah Sashri, if you're speeding up the growth process, now you're making something closer to the ground. That's not considered Zoraya, so why by mixing, where we say mixing or stirring speeds up the cooking process, that is a problem. So he says, very fundamental distinction, that there's a distinction between cooking and planting. Cooking is a process, a result-oriented halacha. Right? The goal by cooking is to get something that's cooked. So long as it's not cooked, we actually know it didn't, right? Discuss that if something's not cooked yet, there's a halacha you added. Like when I talked about, let's say you inadvertently or not, you put bread in the oven. So should we tell somebody to take it out? So before it cooks, it might be an issur d'rabbanan, but can we tell somebody to take it out? So because you can stop the cooking process before it happens, right? That's the Rashash's raya for his whole opinion about Zariya, is that it's like cooking. It takes a little while, so if you took the seeds out, so you would stop it. But according to the Egei Tal, according to Minchas Minuch, Zareya is not a result-oriented halacha, right? It's immediate. Minchas Minuch and the Egei Tal held, in slightly different ways, that it's essentially when you just put the seeds in the ground right away, so you're chayav. That's the difference, right? We can say by Bishul, where it's a process, a result-oriented halacha, that you're chayav if you speed up that result. So if you stir the pot, that makes the malacha happen quicker, so you're chayav for that, because if the whole purpose or whole part of the malacha is to get to the result, so now you're getting there quicker. But if the whole malacha is just like maisa oriented, so doing something quicker doesn't really matter. Okay.